Well, good morning to you wherever you are. Thank you for joining us on the Morning Crossfire. This show starts as early as 5 a.m. weekdays, Monday through Friday, every Thursday we discuss open mic from 5 to 6, and then from 8 to 9 we talk health and health related matters. You know that that is what we do. So if you've missed out on any of our health series topics and everything, you can go to our website to go check it out. You will see the Health Thursday on Listen Again portal. You see the tab on our website, Listen Again. Just click on it and scroll down. You see Health Thursday there. You can go listen back to the previous editions of Health Thursday that we've had on the Morning Crossfire. So globally, about 50 million people are living with dementia, because that's the topic we're talking about. You see how important it is. About 50 million people are living with dementia. And this figure is not decreasing. As the United Nations forecast this number to increase to 82 million by 2030. And 152 million in 2050. Now, if you're wondering why this is so important, I'm going to introduce my guest this morning. He is an expert. He will be able to break it down what dementia is about, especially for those who are wondering how is this important. Dr. Samuel Aladejari, a senior registrar at the Federal Neuropsychiatric Hospital Yaba, is with us this morning. Dr. Samuel, morning to you.
Good morning, Sheriff.
It's good to have you here.
Yeah, thank
you. The last time you were here, was it 2 years ago or last year?
I think last year.
It was last year, right?
Yes.
Huh. How you been, sir?
I've been good.
It's good to have you here again.
Thank you.
Now let's talk dementia. What is dementia?
All right. So dementia is a chronic illness, a chronic brain dysfunction that is deteriorating and are usually characterized by global cognitive decline. Okay. I'm going to break that down later.
Yes, please.
And then there is usually a decline in functioning. So what all this means is that, first of all, dementia is a condition that affects the brain. So it starts from the brain. That's where the issue is the brain. And then I mentioned that it is deteriorating. It is deteriorating in that most times it's usually, once it starts, it's a slippery slope unless something is done to address that. Something is done to arrest that decline.
Yeah.
Also, it is chronic in that it's usually a matter of months to years. So you don't talk of dementia that starts dementia of a few days or a few weeks. You're talking of months to years. And then when we talk about it being affecting being global cognitive decline, what we are referring to, so cognition generally is the aspect of functioning that has to do with consciousness, alertness, orientation, that's in terms of being able to say, I am here,
I'm on the first floor,
yes, or people, referring to people, knowing who is who, or being able to correctly interpret the time, say that, okay, this is morning, this is afternoon, so it affects that. It also affects intellect. So intellect, we talk about calculation, you talk about abstraction, being able to understand proverbs, being able to understand things that people say. We also talk about general fund of knowledge. And then the big one, memory, which is the main area that we usually get to recognize that that is dementia. There are other areas that it affects, like thoughts, how people think. It affects speech. It affects their skills. So these are areas that, so we'll talk about global cognitive decline. And finally, we say that it has to affect functioning. So functionality has to do with our everyday life. So usually it will come down to affect how people carry out their day-to-day activities, the activities of daily living, putting on clothes, eating, driving to work, functioning at work. So it's going to affect all those areas. And usually there is no alteration of consciousness. So that is how we distinguish it from a very close condition to it, which is delirium. So that is, in basic, what dementia is.
I want us to now piece this apart now, right? Let's start with the major signs and symptoms that people should watch out for. What are these major signs and symptoms?
All right. So I missed out something, and that is that dementia is a syndrome. So when we talk about a syndrome, we are talking of a constellation of conditions put together under one umbrella. So it's just the same way we talk about, we mention heart disease. So when we mention heart disease, we are referring to, for instance, atrial fibrillation. We are talking of coronary artery disease. We are talking of myocardial infarction. So these are separate individual conditions, but under one umbrella that we call heart disease. Same thing for dementia. So there are different types of dementia.
Okay.
So what you see depends on which type you are dealing with. But we know that the central feature that we see in all types is that there's going to be a global cognitive decline. Usually, there's going to be a problem with memory, which is the way many people will realize that there is a problem. And then there will be other behavioral issues. So that is the general thing you have.
Yes.
Then when you now get to the individual types, you can now talk of other symptoms that people would see are specific to the types. So if you don't mind, I can go ahead.
Yes, let's go ahead and look at the types.
So the commonest one that we have all over the world, including here in Nigeria, is the Alzheimer's disease. So I know a lot of people have heard about that. It's named after Alois Alzheimer, who described the disease in 1907 and was later named by somebody else after him. So in Alzheimer's disease, what you have is, so this condition affects the brain. And you have the basic symptoms you have there, things like forgetfulness. Usually lasts a longer term thing. So you talk of 2 years, sometimes 2 years, 3 years, 4 years before people actually realize that something is going on. So you have the patient or the person involved would have left something somewhere, maybe keep a key in their pocket and will check in, going all around the house looking for it. They may keep money somewhere and then go to their wardrobe and scatter everywhere, scatter the entire room looking for where that money was kept. And somebody else might just remind them that, look, you kept it here. So it starts with forgetfulness. And then you have things like the person may start missing their way. Over time, start missing their way, sometimes in unfamiliar environment, sometimes in more progressive stages are in the house, so they may not recognize areas within their own house. And other symptoms that you could have include that it may start affecting their speech, so they may become difficult at advanced stages to even understand what they are saying. They too may have difficulty maybe conversing successfully with people. There is also, like I mentioned, it affects skills too. So fine skills like being able to dress up could be affected, being able to perform things like maybe even cook food, use a remote, use a phone that they will have done easily in the past. So that's also will be affected.
Is it age related?
Yes. So, yes, it's age related. Dementia is commoner from the ages of 60, even though there's what we call early onset dementia. That's for Alzheimer's, early onset dementia. And there are other causes of Alzheimer's that could make it occur much earlier. So dementia is basically age-related, like the figures you give in terms of commonality. From once you get to 60, in fact, once you get to from 60, 65, you have the prevalence, that's the number of dementia patients you have in the world. You have number doubling every 5 years. So it's from about 65 where it is about 0.7%. To about 1.4 5 years later, up to a peak of about 1994 years of age, where it's close to about 40% at that age. So it gets commoner with age, but you could also find it in younger people. As early as even 30s, in a situation where it is caused by Down syndrome, which is where there is an abnormality with chromosomes in the body. Chromosomes are like the building blocks, genetic building blocks of the body. So we call it trisomy 21. So in that condition, people, because there's already a reduced cognitive reserve, that is people's ability, their cognition, those things I described earlier, it's already reduced from the background. So they are more likely to develop it much earlier. But that is not a very common, that's not a very common occurrence.
Is there a connection between dementia and early death?
Okay, so in people who are diagnosed of dementia, they are 2 to 4 times more likely, and their own their mortality rate is 2 to 4 times higher than other people at their age. And usually we say that from the point dementia, a diagnosis of dementia is made, on the average across the different types of dementia, people live between 7 to 10 years from the time that diagnosis is made. So people live between 7 to 10 years, which means that obviously people with this condition have a higher mortality compared to others.
I want to talk to you, Dr. Ladejari. And by the way, if you're just joining us, Lagos, you're welcome. It's Health Thursday on the Morning Crossfire. If you're watching us live, you can drop your question to Dr. Ladejari on our live stream on Facebook and on YouTube. Nigeria Info 99.3 is how you can watch us on Facebook and YouTube. On Health Thursday, we discuss health and health-related matters. We don't make diagnosis on the show. What we do is just educate and enlighten. So if you've got questions for my doctor, feel free to drop your comment. A WhatsApp number is 0809-597-5805. That is 0809-597-5805. Facebook is Nigeria Info 99.3. YouTube is Nigeria Info 99.3. And Twitter is at Nigeria Info FM. We look forward to getting your questions. But Dr. Ladejari, you are a senior registrar with Federal Neuropsychiatric Yaba, and you've got experience under your belt. What are the known causes of dementia?
All right, so the causes of dementia, they are divided into two, generally.
Okay.
So there are those that we can do something about,
okay,
which are the reversible,
okay,
and there are others that we can't really do anything about, which are the irreversible. So for instance, starting with the irreversible, we know that age is a risk factor. So now I wouldn't talk about in terms of causes. Causes mean that you'll be able to pick this particular thing, and you'll be able to say that if you deal with this particular thing 100%, this condition is gone. That is not exactly the case.
Okay.
Yes, maybe with a lot of advancements now, we are slowly approaching that, but we are not exactly there. So what we have mainly are risk factors.
Okay.
So for risk factors, we talk about age. We talk about so the older the person gets, from 60, 65 and above, it becomes commoner. And then we talk of sex. It's commoner in females compared to males, probably because maybe they live longer than males. So you are more likely to have more of them than males. And then it is commoner in those with a family history of dementia, those who have had a relative, first degree relative, maybe a father, mother, brother, or somebody who has had a first degree relative who has had dementia before. And one of the reasons for that is genetics, which is also something we can't do anything about. So there are certain genes that have been identified to be associated with this condition.
Right.
So there is this particular protein they called amyloid precursor protein.
Okay.
So it produces what we call beta amyloid in the cells, in the cells of the brain.
Okay.
So when it produces those substances affect the functionality of those cells, and those cells die out. So that is one reason. That is that's a genetic cause. Some people have been identified to have that protein secreting more of that substance in the cells of the brain, more than others. So because of that, they are more. And there are other genes too that are associated with this, presenilin 1, presenilin 2. We also talk about what we call polymorphisms, that is changes in normal functions of genes that have now led to one or two conditions. And one of them that has been identified is apolipoprotein E. E4 specifically is the one that has been a response.
E4?
Yes, it's the one that has been associated with dementia. In fact, part of what they are doing, what is being done these days, is to find out, okay, if people actually have, certain people actually have these things. But like I said, it's not like a surefire way that once you pick this thing, you deal with it completely, this condition is gone. It just probably reduces the risk of it happening. So these are some of the factors that there is not much we can do something about. Now, for those that we can do something about, so we talk about comorbidities, conditions like hypertension, like diabetes, like lipid hyperlipidemias, dyslipidemias, that is lipid dysfunction in the body, and then lifestyle issues like alcohol use, smoking. There are also others like vascular conditions like cardiovascular disease, stroke.
Yeah.
So it has been found that people who have had stroke, they have a higher risk of developing dementia than others. So these are factors we can deal with. There are also others like sedentary lifestyle, diets. Of course, not our own kind of diet.
Yeah.
Their own kind of diet, the Western kind of diet.
Right.
So these are some of the things that have been implicated as causes of dementia. Okay, so there are, yeah, so these are some of the things that have been indicated as causes of, as risk factors for dementia. But I would say that the most studied ones, or the ones that are most likely, are the ones that are to the genetic ones and then family history. These are things that are more implicated.
I have some questions here for you on Facebook, but I think that you have answered quite a number of them already in your explanation. Someone is asking, what's the relationship between dementia and diabetes? Someone is asking, what are the symptoms of dementia? Another person is asking if it's hereditary. All of these things you've put in your statement. But my next question, Dr. Alajari, is, at what point should an individual go for a checkup on suspicion of maybe dementia? At what point, what should that individual, you know, be watching out for and say, I need to go and check this?
Okay, so what you've asked is actually very important, because dementia is not a pedestrian diagnosis. Not, I know, once you talk about something on radio, everybody starts thinking, is it me? Is it not me? So it's not that kind of thing. So there are, before I go into the things that people would see, I will want to talk about two very related things to dementia. So first of all, normal aging. Yes, so people grow old, and as people grow old, you know that generally they become slower than they used to be. So if people are becoming slower, not necessarily that they may have little, they may find it a bit difficult to remember things, but not necessarily to a crisis level, not necessarily to the point of you left your key here and you are looking for it all over the place and you are turning the house upside down and it's happening regularly. So as people grow older, that could happen.
It's a normal thing.
That could happen, that you just become a bit slower. You can't remember as much as you normally do. So that is not a problem. Okay. That is a normal process.
Okay.
A second related condition is what we call mild cognitive impairments.
Okay.
So this is not yet dementia. But this is, some have said that this is like a preface. This is like the stage you get to before you get to dementia. So some people progress from this into dementia. Some do not progress.
Okay.
So what people see at this point is, yes, there's forgetfulness. Forgetfulness, maybe close to the level of dementia. You could drop something here and you could find it difficult remembering it over time. And that could occur a bit more often than the regular age. And then people will see that there is some change that has occurred. This will not affect functionality. So the person is working, the person can still work. If the person is doing a business, the person can still conduct the business, the person still recognize family members. So these ones are not there's not too much to bother about, even though some have advocated that treatment should start early from the level of mild cognitive impairment, because there are equivocal evidence on it that it could lead to prevent a progression to dementia. So at what point should a person now be concerned about dementia? Should feel that maybe they need to check themselves up? So first thing, forgetfulness. The person is forgetting, like I mentioned, the person is forgetting things and it's becoming often. And people have noticed that there is a marked change. So this is not who this person is. This person wasn't this forgetful? This person didn't make this kind of errors. You fix appointments, can't remember that they fixed such an appointment.
Yeah.
And the person wakes up one morning and says that he's going to collect one money from somebody that is not being owed.
Yeah.
So those are marked changes.
Let's pause there for a moment, Dr. Ladijari. Mm. We have an announcement to pass out to our people. Once we're done with this announcement, we'll continue. Lagos, stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
This is an infomercial.
Thursday, I am Sheriff Quadri. I have joining me on the show this morning Dr. Samuel Aladejari, Senior Registrar at the Federal Neuropsychiatric Hospital, Yaba. Dr. Aladejari, again, thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
You're welcome.
So, you know what? Because of time, we'll go take some calls right now and some questions that have come in on our other platforms. But before then, I have a question for you, sir. In Nigeria, dementia has risen by over 400% in the country. 63,000 in 1995 to 318,000 in 2015. I don't know what the figures are like these days. What can you tell us about this, Dr. Aladejari?
Thank you very much. So, dementia started as a Western condition.
Yeah.
Well, for us, it came out like a Western condition for us. And some of the risk factors that I stated earlier, actually the ones that we can do something about. A number of them were things that were not so common here before. Diabetes was not what it is at the moment. Hypertension wasn't what it is at the moment. Dyslipidemias, lipid abnormalities in the body, was not what it is at the moment. And we're not as sedentary as we are now. People trekked a lot. People did a lot. There were a lot of physical exercises. You hardly had obese children.
I mean, people, we can track that time.
So, and then generally the life expectancy was not what it is at the moment,
right?
So of course our population was not what it is at the moment. So these are factors that have affected what's the numbers over the years, and it's projected that it's even going to be worse with time. So we are going to have a shift. So generally there's a general shift in non-communicable diseases. So before, it used to be a Western condition, and now we are beginning to experience that shift in lower and middle income countries, more from the infectious disease that we used to have, predominantly infectious disease, malaria, typhoid, cholera, and the others, and now into non-communicable diseases like heart diseases, like diabetes, like dementia as well.
Yeah.
So, and also globally, the number is increasing. Like you stated at the beginning, that is projected to get to as much as 150 million people.
Right. That's
right. And one of the reasons for that is that by that 2050, we are likely to have over a billion elderly people over 60. For instance, in Nigeria, the life expectancy, we expect that as things improvement here and there, technological advancement in healthcare and even economy, we expect that over time, life expectancy in Nigeria will increase. Imagine the number of people that we have below 18 now. Imagine those people growing up, growing old, and a number of them surviving till late age, old age. So you can imagine the number of old people we would have in Nigeria. So we expect that the number too will increase. So these are factors that have interplayed together to cause a general rise in dementia in Nigeria. And like I said, we expect that generally for the lower middle income countries, the rise is probably going to be more.
Wow.
In terms of percentage,
wow,
compared to what you have in some other country, in the Western world, where it's already there, it's also increasing, but because their own population is stagnating for many of them, not like us, where our population is ballooning.
Right, yeah. Right. Now, let's begin to take some calls in 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-7190. Those are the two lines that we are working with. And please, when you're calling, I beg you to please go straight to the point so we can get in as many thoughts as possible. I think I can start with messages from Facebook. Lawa on Facebook says, can reading help reduce the risk of dementia?
Yes, it can. So one of the factors that is protected and has been found to be protective for dementia is educational advancement. So it's more like a use and disuse thing. The more you use it, the less you are likely to lose it. So the higher your educational attainment, it means that you will have spent more part of your active years studying, and that will be relatively protective. Same thing for reading. So people are advised generally to remain active, remain active, read something, at least read something every day. Don't just be there. That would, confer some level of protection.
Oh, okay. All right. This individual is asking whether dementia is related to amnesia.
Okay. So amnesia is also forgetfulness, but amnesia is not forgetfulness at the level of dementia. Like I said, dementia is chronic.
It's chronic.
And it's a downward slope. So amnesia can be reversible depending on the cause. It can be reversible, and it's more of a, we are talking more of like a short-term thing. We are not talking of a long-term complex. We are not talking of a syndrome like dementia. So it's not at that level yet.
All right. Let me take another one here from WhatsApp. This person says, I would like to know if Semitic is curable and are there centers for checkup? Do you understand that question?
Could you come again?
This person says, I would like to know if Semitic is curable and if there are centers for checkup. What's Semitic?
I'm not sure I understand what the person is trying to say.
Okay, all right. Please send it again if you have, maybe you need to explain. Yeah? This other person says, I went for a medical checkup and doctor said there is reduction in blood supply to the right and frontal sides of my brain. Do I stand the risk of dementia?
Okay, so that depends on if the person went for a medical checkup and the person got that result. Most likely, the person did an imaging study on the brain, which is not a routine thing that people do. So when people go for medical checkup, they are less likely to do tests like CT, computer tomography, or magnetic resonance imaging, which is what will give this kind of result. So there might have been some suspicion. That will have made the doctor request for that investigation. So depending on the age of the person, depending on why the doctor requested for that investigation, that is what would give a fuller picture of what that could result in. But we know that generally vascular issues affecting blood supply to the brain are a risk factor or for dementia, like I mentioned about stroke earlier.
Let's take this call in. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. Please turn off your radio. Thank you.
Please, can somebody that fell down from Okada machine knock head on the ground? And right now, he cannot remember anything. This thing happened about 10 years back.
Okay.
Can we call it dementia?
Okay. All right. All right. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for that. So traumatic brain injuries are a risk factor for dementia. When people have accidents that involve their head, maybe they fell down, like you mentioned, someone fell down from Okada and hit their head on the floor, or the person is repeatedly involved in an activity that leads to trauma to the head. So that could lead to dementia. But then I wouldn't be able to say exactly that what that person is experiencing is dementia, because there could be a number of other things that could have caused that memory, that that could be responsible for that memory loss. So unless a full assessment is done with some other questions asked before, I'll be able to say certainly what condition is responsible for that. But of course, traumatic brain injury is a risk factor for dementia.
All right. Ify from Aja says, does hardship have a hand in the increase in the rise of numbers of people with dementia in Nigeria? Suffer ahead.
Okay. Well, I'm not aware of that information. What I'm aware of paradoxically is that probably ease is responsible for the increase.
Enjoyment,
because, exactly. Because if people, maybe if people were more active, I talked about sedentary lifestyle,
yes,
which is
yes.
you have a vehicle, moves you up and down, you are sitting from beginning of the day to the end. So maybe if people carried out more active, children are playing video games rather than being out there playing the real football.
Man.
So and then diets. Westernized, highly westernized diets. We are
buy this, can this, so, can that, preserve this, preserve
so,
that.
Maybe more of ease, we'll see.
Not
so
ahead.
So I'm not aware of that information.
Let's take another call. Good morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Yeah, I want to inform that I had an accident.
Okay.
So I had something hit me on my head. So okay. after I recovered, I noticed that maybe if I do something now, maybe if I let's say, okay, maybe I take my drugs now.
Yeah.
After 5 seconds, I'll be asking myself, did I take drugs? As in, I won't be sure of myself. As in, I can do something now. Then maybe after some seconds, I will now be asking myself, did I do that thing? You understand?
Yes, yes.
I don't know. I don't know what the issue is.
Do you have a question for her?
Okay, thank all right. Thank you for that concern. All right, so if I get you very well, you had an accident,
yes.
and since then you feel that, okay, you second guess your decision. So,
right.
Well, that may not necessarily be dementia, because as I can see, you are aware of what is going on.
Mm.
So that may not necessarily be dementia. You know what you are supposed to do, and you are just asking yourself, did I actually do it or not? So it may not be, and it may also be early stages. So if it's something that has that is affecting your everyday life, that is coming up very frequently, you may want to get an assessment to be sure that everything is fine. But it may not be dementia.
Indeed. Someone is asking this question. I don't know why, but let me put it out there. I mean, he could be helping others. Charles says, what is the difference between dementia and arthritis? Please explain more on arthritis.
So these are two different conditions.
Very, completely far very, apart, very
as
different.
Far as, as far as the head to the leg, or the head to the major joints of the body, so which is where arthritis affects, not dementia. It affects the brain, I started. So they are worlds apart.
So I'm going to take another one here that says, I'm sexually active, but when I don't know what you think you're listening to, but this is not the program that you drop this kind of message, okay? What I would tell you is go and see a doctor. Don't always wait for a radio doctor before you try to find solution to the issues that you've got, okay? Let me take another one that says, I don't understand this person. Well, you've sent this earlier. This other person that says that he has short blood supply to his right side and front side. He's sending another one. I don't know why you did that, but I'm going to take another one very quickly now. Frank from Suleri says, what kind of test can someone do to detect this? And he says, is there a cure for dementia?
Great. So, when there is a suspicion, so the suspicion could be picked by the suspicion could be picked by relatives or by their primary care physicians. Maybe they go for something else in a primary health center or a general hospital, and there is a concern by the doctor there. So when that is made, the person is usually referred. A referral is done either to a psychiatrist, to a neurologist, and we can carry out an assessment. So we look at those domains, domains of cognition, which is memory, their speech, their skills, their functioning. And so we are looking at all those areas, calculating, recognizing faces, recognizing places. So we are looking at all those areas, and then we do a mental state examination, do what we call a mini mental state examination, MMSC.
Okay.
We could also bring out some instruments, neurocognitive instruments that we will use in assessing more objectively the person's cognition. So when all that is done, we could also do an investigation.
Yeah.
We could also do investigations to also rule out other possible causes. So it's based on that that a diagnosis would be made. A diagnosis would be made, but mainly dementia is a clinical diagnosis because in many cases, especially the ones with the degenerating caused by degenerating conditions like Alzheimer's, the definitive diagnosis is at the table of the pathologist, that is in the morgue during autopsy.
Yeah.
That is when a very sure diagnosis can be made.
Oh.
But yes, so probably diagnosis is clear because that is when they have to open the head and open up the brain and see what is there, which you can't do now. So mainly it is clinical. It's the diagnosis is clinical. Although there are some advancements now in terms of imaging techniques that allow people to that allow us to be able to see some of those things I talked about, those beta amyloid, neurofibrillary tangles, allows them to see those things and be able to say, okay, because of this extent, this might be dementia.
All right, Richard.
Good morning, Terry.
Yes, please. Welcome.
Good morning to the doctor in the house. Okay, so I don't know if my case is dementia or dementia just starting out with my mind playing tricks on me. Okay, so I'm discussing football with somebody, right?
Yeah.
And I'm trying to remember the name of a particular player, maybe somebody who played back in the days.
Yeah.
And it takes me time. I mean, these are people who I know that normally I should just call their names.
Yeah.
And it takes me time to, I'm trying to remember the guy's name. You know, I'm trying so hard. The name is just there somewhere, and I can't, for whatever reason, I can't just remember it. Now, it's not a one-off situation. A couple of times it has happened like that. So I really don't know if it's a static case of dementia or if it's just my mind playing tricks on me. I'll like the doctor to clarify.
All right, Richard. Well, I have another question here on YouTube. Agri on YouTube, a similar question. Agri is saying, what's the difference between dementia and memory loss?
All right, so I'll take the two together. So he mentioned that he's discussing football and name of somebody back in the days, not now.
Not now.
So it's not uncommon that we may struggle to remember certain things. We may struggle to remember certain names that we knew a long time ago. The question I would have wanted to ask him is, does this happen when you're having other discussions? Does this happen? Does this affect your work? Does this affect some other things, not just when you're discussing football and trying to remember the name of somebody back in the days? So if that is not the situation, because these things keep changing, new players keep coming up, you keep seeing new people every day, so may not necessarily be a problem. So we want to know whether it affects other domains, other areas, other discussions, and not just this particular area. Then is dementia memory loss? Yes, we could say it's memory loss because that is a primary problem that most people see. I think before you move on, I wanted to talk about something. One of the questions was about whether dementia is treatable. So we say that dementia can be managed.
Okay.
Managed in terms of, so depending on the cause. So if there are those reversible, there are certain types of dementia that are reversible.
Okay.
Maybe caused by metabolic imbalances. By some chemicals and more, like hypothyroidism. There's also a type called normal pressure hydrocephalus. So if it's caused by things like that, once those things are fixed, it's reversible. But in most cases, it is not reversible and it is deteriorating. So what do we do instead? We try to arrest it, and we try to arrest the decline, and we try to prolong the person's life, try to give the person a better quality of life. So the manner of doing this is a multidisciplinary approach. So not just doctors, will have other members of the mental health team involved in this. So there's a non-pharmacological and then there's a pharmacological modality. The non-pharmacology is probably even more important than the pharmacological, in that the non-pharmacological tries to use other things in treatment. So it tries to modify the environment of the person. So one of the things we tell people when they report that their elderly ones, when we see their elderly ones in the hospital, is that this is not the time to suddenly go and rent a new house for this person, because the person is already having difficulty identifying this place they've grown up in for so long. So by the time you start changing where they live, you get them even more confused and they become much more irritable. And also we talk about having proper lighting in the house, having contrasting colors so that they can recognize exactly where they are while they are in the house. There are also other forms of therapy that will bring in, like pet therapy, having a pet around, dog, cats, which could make them calmer. I'll talk about music therapy, music that defines calming, that defines soothing, because there are also what we call behavioral and psychological symptoms of dementia, which is the reason many people actually bring their elderly ones in the first case, not even the memory problem, because the memory problem is not affecting their own life, it's affecting the person, the patient's life. But when it becomes a problem to them is when there are behavioral issues. So agitation especially, it's a major problem that many families battle with and they are trying to deal with. So that is one way of calming it down: music therapy, pet therapy. And then we want to treat the person with dignity, that they are losing their memory doesn't mean that they are less of a human being. So we want to do all that for them. Then there are some other very important areas, because we notice that this, we know that this is a declining thing. We also want to take care of their finances. So this person, if this, does this person sign checks? So we want to talk to the person about handing over this duty to somebody else, writing maybe an advance directive or a power, granting a power of attorney to somebody else to deal with that. Or we also want to talk to the person about writing a will if the person doesn't have a will on ground, because it might get to the point where they might not recognize anybody, and not anybody at all. So those things need to be in place so that their family is not thrown into disarray because of their condition. And then there are medications which we give to try to arrest the situation and then also try to deal with the behavioral problem. So most of the time the behavioral issues can be treated, so they can be resolved. Agitation, seeing things, hearing things, so those can be dealt with.
We're going to leave it here for now, Dr. Adejare. But before we go, please, I would, because quite a number of people are asking for your number, perhaps they want to ask some questions privately. How can people reach out to you if you are okay with number or social media, whatever it is you're okay with? We're good to go. How can people reach out to you?
All right, so maybe I'll drop my social media.
That's fine.
So
that's
you
fine.
Can do that. Also, I also volunteer for a mental health advocacy group called ACIDO Foundation. You could have heard about ACIDO Foundation. And we have social media handles as well, which I will also leave where you can ask these questions.
All right. I'll get that from Dr. Adejare. You can follow me on Twitter at Sheriff Quadri, Instagram at Sheriff Quadri. I'll get that information and then I will tweet it and post it. Bye for now.
We are delighted to announce 3 flights a week from Lagos to Johannesburg. We
know 99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.